episode of the Side Project Podcast. A sip from the Run It Up mug. Absolutely amazing. Is it gonna focus? Not today. Having focus issues. Awesome. Yes. Rocking the Side Project Podcast hoodie. The simple, the easy, the quick, the easy, the what is it called? The logo, the simplistic, regular Side Project Podcast logo. I'm all thrown off today here, ladies and gentlemen. How is everybody doing? Man! I hope everybody's doing good, man. We have an absolutely amazing episode here today. But before we get into the bread and butter of the episode, I do want to talk with everybody about just one thing that there's a bunch of things that I haven't been able to talk about with anybody for quite a while here. I've been wanting to talk about so many different things, but there's one thing that I really want to talk about, something that I'm a huge fan of, and that is who saw the latest trailers and spots for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania? Did you see it? Did you see it? Who saw it? I saw it, and I said a long, long time ago that Ant-Man deserved more, and this is it. I said a long time ago when Kang was announced for Ant-Man that this was going to be a different level threat for Scott Lang, and I think that this is it. I'm excited to see this movie, man. I'm excited for more Kang. I like Kang. I like the pretty decently true to the comics look, you know? He may not be quite blue himself, but they found a way to do it with the blue shade in there with his helmet and the face covering and everything. I dig it, man. And in a time where I personally feel like comic book movies are somewhat, you know, a little stale here and there, somewhat on a downfall, if you will, especially Marvel. I don't know. DC is having a lot of trouble getting things together. But just speaking on Marvel at this current point, I haven't been feeling a lot of like what Phase 4 is doing, man, you know? And I'm hoping that the setup for going into the next phases is going to be a little bit more on par with something like the feelings that you got for like the Iron Mans or the Civil Wars, the Infinity Wars, the Endgames, etc. You know what I mean? And if you saw the poll that I did on the Side Project Instagram, I did a poll where I asked people if they thought, you know, it was kind of stale or a downfall or anything. It seems like the majority feel very similar to how I feel. But in a time where I feel like the epicness of Marvel is dissipating, Quantumania looks to have a little bit more of that like emotional, cinematic, fighting for something a little bit more legit and less cheesy comedic tone to it. And I'm really looking forward to that, dude. You know, I miss that. I miss that in Marvel films, dude. I'm done with the big twerking green giants and Daredevil doing the walk of shame with no shoes on in the grass. Like, come on, man. You know, I want the ways that I used to feel back in a Marvel film. But I digress. And I move on to the bread and butter of this week's episode and a little bit of moving on to the DC side of things as well, because we're looking to be heavy on guests this year. And the second episode of 2023 is just that, because my guest for this week, no stranger to the cosplay community, a standout in the cosplay community, a staple for DC cosplayers. The content is fresh. The content is hype. The content is of quality. Working with the likes of the many talented, such as GC5 Effects, Gaslight Co., Dark Knight Effects, Unmasked Studio, Brian Cox Photography, J-Con Film, and so many more to help bring together that fresh, hype, quality Red Hood content. Because ladies and gentlemen, this year's looking to be a year of a lot of a long time comings. And because this one is another long time coming, let's put our hands together and give a warm welcome to Joey Red Hood. How's it going, man? How's it going, dude?
Going good, man. Going good. Going good. Yes. Excited to be here, man. It's an honor. I feel like I've been around a long time. I feel like when I started is around that same time as you starting up. So it's kind of a neat parallel.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And we were talking about this off camera real quick. Thank you for being like a supporter since day one, man. Before the show was like what it is today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like before it was, here, hold on one sec. We're going to keep this rolling. I'm not cutting this out. But ladies and gentlemen, you see that I've got this. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but we're just going to have to do it on camera. You see, I got this new Red Hood helmet, courtesy of Amit Cosplay. Thank you very much, man. And I'm switching up the background a little bit. There's going to be some changes to the background coming into the new year, but I switched up a few things, moved a couple things around, and put this here. And the cameras having a really hard time focusing on just my face for some reason. Never worry about the Spawn, doesn't worry about the Punisher, but the Red Hood helmet's because Joey's here today. So he's trying to focus on Red Hood, man. Yeah. He's trying to make sure that everybody knows that Joey Red Hood's here today, man. But I'm going to go ahead and move this because it's having such a hard time focusing on the two of us. Or maybe even if it's just like over there a little bit. This is the part that I'm not cutting out, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to leave it. We're leaving it in, dude.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah, it is what it is. This is the technical difficulties that you never see me have. It's having so much trouble. Here, I may have to just move this out of the way for now, and I'll have to change some settings later off camera. We're just going to have him sit. He's blocking the merch a little bit, but it's okay. They know. They know about the merch.
That's a beautiful helmet.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thanks to Amit Cosplay got that. Which, by the way, I'll do it live on the air, man. Amit is a big fan of yours. I don't know if you know Amit Cosplay or not. Yeah. He's a big fan of yours, man. He's also a giant Red Hood cosplayer. He loves Red Hood, and he told me to tell you he's a giant fan of yours and that he loves your stuff, man. I love his stuff too, man. You're an inspiration. Yeah, awesome, dude. Awesome. Anyway, I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen. There's the technical difficulties and the shit that I'm not gonna cut. Thank you for supporting since day one. Man, before the episode, before the podcast was like what it is today and everything, I look back at those episodes. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do when they look back at certain things and they kind of cringe. They're like, oh man, you know what I mean? Like, it's I can't great. Believe that's what people saw, but everybody starts somewhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I love the high energy. I mean, I think you've always brought, thank you, man, you know, a great fun to the community, not just cosplay, but, you know, just the, you know, culture in general, pop culture, movies, everything. So it's a lot of fun. I love seeing the wall behind you grown over time.
There's all kinds of things coming in, man. I appreciate that, dude. I appreciate that, man. But the bread and butter of this episode is you, man. I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. Like I said, it's been a long time coming. So whether it be on Instagram or whether it be on your TikTok, which you guys can follow Joey on either of those at JoeyRedHood.22, you're thriving in the cosplay community, man, with solid, awesome, standout Red Hood content for everybody to feast their eyes upon, dude. And you have phenomenal Red Hood cosplays, man. And right off the bat, no pun intended, well, maybe a little bit, but there's one that I'd love to point out, man, and talk to you about a bit. Is there's a shot of you at Cosplay World Con at the Creative Cosplays magazine booth, who I know them and I'm working with them on a few things, but we'll stay quiet until then. Where you just look intensely amazing, man. You do, from head to toe, the battle worn helmet, the perfectly fitted jacket, the chest piece, the pants, the props. I mean, all of it is very on point, dude. I mean, what's the process for this heavy of a Red Hood build, man? Because this thing looks straight out of a movie, dude. Like, can you walk us through, like, what was going on through your mind when you were making, like, this specific one? Like, and who made what as well? I mean, let's give credit where credit's due, you know?
Right. I mean, in general, so a couple years ago, I put a blacked out look together and, you know, got together with a big cosplay group down in Nashville, and it was a chess piece by Urat's Studios, the jacket there, and the helmet. And then I end up doing a pretty faithful rendition of the Titans look from the show DC Titans.
Yeah.
And I wasn't real thrilled overall with that look. And so I just started playing with the combinations. And for me, you know, I start playing with the different looks and what goes well together. But the overall process to kind of combine the two is you start with the helmet. For me, I think, you know, when people reach out and ask me what do they want, you know, how do they start out? For me, it's picking your helmet, you know.
Nice.
The helmet to me sets the tone for the whole outfit, right?
Right.
Like, that'll tell you if you want like a cyberpunk vibe, if you want, you know, rebirth, whatever the look is, you want that. So that's where I started with that. But I really love the chest armor of the Titans look. So the Titans armor, you kind of take out the helmet, which was a complaint from the show, bring in the more outlaw look.
Yeah,
and then swapping the jacket from brown to black, you know, kind of elements, the belt's a Titans belt. So it's kind of combining the Titans look with my blackout look I had before to kind of come up with kind of this meshed, you know, original style look. The chest armor, the it's like a vest, that's Gaslight. I came to him, you know, bringing him some sketches before the show, before Red Hood even debuted, to kind of see if we could get something together for that type of look. The helmet, designed by Dark Knight Effects. Jackets, Luka jackets. Now, this is where I try to do things differently. The jacket itself is not a traditional jacket, so I look for different inspirations in different places. That jacket specifically is an Autobot Transformer jacket, and it kind of takes inspiration from Star-Lord. So it's like a Star-Lord jacket that they took out the one half lapel, and then they kind of blacked it out, weathered it it up, and then I had them remove the logo of the Autobot logo. So if you go to their site, it's Transformer jacket.
Dude, that's so
for
cool.
me though, I saw it and it just clicked. I'm like, that's the jacket. Kind of, I did some photo editing, kind of put the helmet on the jacket. So I do a lot of editing or sketching to kind of see with what the idea will look like. And the goal for me personally is, how would it look on TV? If Red Hood was on TV or a movie and I got a chance to kind of put together, what would it look like? And that's kind of where it kind of came out with. And that's, if there was a signature look, that's kind of become my main look, is that all black.
Damn, dude. Yeah.
And you know, this is where I love the Red Hood community. So there's a lot of behind the scenes chatter, sharing ideas, inspirations. You'll see different people kind of, you know, borrowing different ideas from different people. If you look on the belt, there's like some shells. That was something I added later on. That was from a cosplayer, Capture Realm. He kind of has like these Red Hood batarangs on his hip in the same style.
Nice.
So that inspired me to say, okay, I like that idea. Let me do something different. Yeah. I think that's the great thing about, you know, especially Red Hood in general. I think the community, different levels, different skill levels, different styles, you know, everybody kind of just shares ideas and is real comfortable kind of saying, hey, that's cool. How'd you do that? Right. Or where'd you grab that? And I think that's a big part of cosplay. I think that makes it fun.
Putting these cosplays together, is there anything specific that you're going for? I mean, you kind of did mention a couple things in there, but I mean, as a whole, across like all of your cosplay in general, are you looking to add like your own twist or flair to them? Or are you more so trying to go comic accurate, the cinematic feel? I mean, what are you aiming for specifically?
So the only real accurate, so I felt the Titan ones was pretty accurate, and then I did an Arkham Knight one with the reflective helmet.
Yes.
Other than that, it's kind of, I just kind of put my twist on. I try to come up with different combinations I think would look really great together. Right. Some work, some don't, but it's always been a goal to kind of, how does Red Hood translate to me?
Yes.
Like for instance, I'm not a huge fan of the brown jacket. I know there's a lot of great looks for the brown jacket. Yeah. For me, I've never really been able to put together a brown jacket look that I like. So you'll see I have the Arkham jacket most of the time or the black jacket.
Right.
I've tried once or twice with the brown one. It just doesn't work for me. There's plenty of them out there that do work.
But of course.
Across all the cosplays are DC related. So Red Hood, Red X, my Nightwing, I kind of say, okay, if Jason Todd was this character, it's like I kind of put that spin on all of those, you know? So if Jason Todd was Red X, what does that look like to me? How would he acquire that gear? What would it look like? You know, what universe would he exist in? You know, in a, you know, what if episode, if he took up Nightwing instead of Grayson, what would that look like? And that's the one I've had a lot of fun with. Mm-hmm. That one, like this. So I got to help design this with Urats. So this is already floating around with some cosplayers for their Nightwings. But a couple years ago, I wanted to take that chess piece I mentioned earlier, the Red Hood one he did.
Yeah.
And I wanted a Nightwing version to kind of have that mirror kind of almost like Sub-Zero Scorpion type of vibe where it's palette swap.
Yeah.
You know, so I got that one coming along, which is pretty cool. But overall, yeah, I try to put my own spin on it and, you know, kind of pull from whether it's concept art, kind of ideas that I come up with. And I try to use a lot of real world things. Like I go to military surplus stores. I'll go to, you know, toy places and then paint those up. Like these guns I've been riding with since I started. And these were like some Amazon toy guns that I painted up and weathered.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another secret one, Adventure Force at Walmart, man. This one was that I painted up.
Yes.
So this one actually has a functioning light, you know, it's like,
oh, that is awesome, you know, dude.
But this was a lot of fun to paint and weather. So I have a lot of good time with that, but I mean, props, I mean, just, you got to practice, but that's where I'll go and find just good deals. And then I try to get real world things that I think would translate well to picture and video.
Do you have any trouble? Cause those look so real especially from a distance. You have any trouble when you're traveling? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, since I don't do a whole lot of traveling, it's like local cons, but I'll tell you some of the Richmond Comic Cons I've been to, like Galaxy Con, they don't let you have any lifelike guns.
At least
the time I went a couple years ago. So I had to have, there's pictures of me with no guns and holsters. So it's kind of funny looking. I did get busted at Hampton Comic Con last year at Snake Eyes. My sword was too realistic. They hit me with a code silver.
Yeah.
So there was a door person. They're like, we got a code silver here at the Gallery 5. And so it's me and my son. We're sitting there. And I was like, come on, man. It's not real. And they're like, it's too real. So I had to go, you know, drop it off.
I got to ask you, man. You know, everybody has a start somewhere. And on May 12th, 2018, was your first post on Instagram discussing at the time you putting together a reasonable Red Hood build. And thereafter, it seems like your content just kind of took off pretty fast, man. Not too long after you started really putting everything together and came out with a bang. And then a year later in 2019, you made like this anniversary post stating, obviously, you know, 1 year of your cosplay page and everything. But let's talk about it a little bit deeper, man. Like, when did cosplay truly start for you? Was it around the time of that first post or was it before? Like, how and when did you get into cosplay?
It was the first taste was the Halloween before. I like Destiny, or I used to like Destiny
nice,
a lot. The game.
Nice. Yeah. 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 I used to play it too. I put together
a costume. Yeah.
Yeah.
My collector shelf is Destiny, Snake Eyes, Red Hood. I got all kinds of that stuff.
Yes. Hell yes.
I'll probably talk about later, but Kate Six is one of my, you know, dream cosplays to do.
Yes, dude.
For Halloween, I put some costumes together for me and my son of hunters from Destiny.
Yeah.
That was like my first time really going in depth beyond a normal Halloween costume. Then we went to a Comic-Con, Hampton Comic-Con that October. And I saw these people walking around in costumes. I've never been to a Comic-Con convention at all or any of that.
Oh, nice.
And I thought they were actually part of the show. Like, they were hired to be there. They're dressed up. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And then I realized they're just people,
yeah,
fans.
Yeah, just walking around.
Wait, you can just dress up and come in here?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And so that's where I got my first taste of it. And so I wanted to kind of get into it. And Redhead's always been a favorite. Behind that was Green Arrow. So I almost came out and did a Green Arrow first. But for me, Red Hood was kind of it. One, the look is great. Two, I love this kind of angsty backstory and you know, that whole thing. And then honestly, Red Hood to me is a very accessible cosplay at any, you know, skill level or income level. I mean, it can be as basic and simple as you want. You can make different things. You can be elaborate. And I think it's a very accessible cosplay to really get started with.
Yeah.
And that specific helmet, that first post, that was something I grabbed off Etsy and first tried trying to do some painting.
Yeah, I saw that. The caption says, couldn't put together a reasonable build for today's, hold on, let me get this bigger. There we go. Tidewater Comic-Con. But here's a great helmet from Nether_Wolf. I don't know if all these tags or accounts are still active or anything. Check out his Etsy page for tons of great helmets for different characters and et cetera, et cetera. But that, again, that was in 2018. So yeah, you're right. That was, I'll throw that up on the screen if it's not already up there. That was you pulling everything together for the first time, huh?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to dress for that show, but I did go as in plain clothes as a civilian, if you want to call it that. Just kind of checking out the nerd stuff. And then after that, it's trial and error. I mean, the stuff that's not posted, I mean, I got some bad pictures. Maybe I'll do a post of unseen pictures from early on where I just wasn't happy with where it was looking or things I thought was good at the time, you know, and just having fun with it. That's the thing with cosplay for me that I think sometimes gets lost is it is play. Like, it's just fun. I have enough stress every day with my actual job that I just want to chill, relax, have fun.
Exactly.
You know, just kind of like be a big kid. I mean, it's one of the things that kind of keeps you young. So I get lost in that. Have a lot of fun with, you know, designing stuff. When I first started, I would make content on Sundays and just post it Monday through Saturday. Like, I made enough content for the whole week.
Knocking it all out in like one day. In your spare time.
You know, with work and everything like that, family, you know, I've had to pull back a little bit, but I still enjoy, I still have fun, make content. My brother, J-Con Film, you know, it's always cool to collab with him with what he does with film and videography to combine with my, cosplay. That's where we've made some really cool content. And, we've always wanted to make, I won't say a fan film because I'm not an actor. I mean, I know a lot of people, I'm not an actor, right? Yeah. So I'm not trying to spit lines, but I would want to make like a movie trailer style. I don't know if you remember the old fan film Grayson, where it was almost it's like just a movie trailer.
Yeah.
That's the kind of style I would do. So if you can limit my dialogue and I just get to look cool and kind of move around.
Yeah, definitely.
That's my bread and butter.
Definitely,
I don't have the acting chops.
I think you could do it though, man. I think you could do it. You know what I mean? Especially if you're getting into character, you know? You could do it, dude.
But more power to those that do it. It's a labor of love. There's a bunch out there. I can't remember all of it, but Lunchbox, Alter Ego, their crew did the Gotham Knights. There's a new Outlaw show coming out. You got the Red Hood fan series. It's just cool to see people take their passion and kind of put it into something.
Right.
which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Definitely. I mean, you kind of answered a little bit of those questions, but I'm going to pry a little bit deeper. Like, so why cosplay for you as a whole? Like, what was the defining moment where you're like, I definitely want to do this? You mentioned it being kind of like a, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but kind of like an escape, you know what I mean? From your everyday right. life and your work life and everything like that. You like to have fun with it. But what was that defining moment where you were like, man, I want to do this. Like, I really want to do this.
It's, I've always looked for creative outlets. So, you know, outside of work, some other hobbies are soccer, going to the gym, that kind of thing. But from a creative standpoint, which me and my brother both kind of share, I actually used to build different action figures and I used to sell them online and do really well with that. And so I stopped doing that. I just wanted something from a creative standpoint, and cosplay for me allows me to do that. There's certain things that either I don't have access to, or there's just people that are frankly better that I lean on and learn from. So like, for instance, Dark Knight effects with the helmet. Yeah. I feel I've gotten pretty good with my own paint, but that specific one I think is just crazy. So, but I have fun. Like I showed you the props and stuff.
Yeah.
Come up with that. I think I have a lot of, it just lets me create, which is a lot of fun, coming up with different versions of niche characters like Red X and, you know, my interpretation of that character versus traditional, Snake Eyes, same thing. I'm an 80s kid. Yeah. So Snake Eyes and G.I. Joe was big for me, but you know, and until recently Red Hood was very niche. I like the side characters, you know, more than I do like main characters.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah.
So I'm more into the Robins. I have a Robin collection. But for me, overall, going back on topic, cosplay to me is just a creative outlet, not just an outlet, but for me, it allows me to kind of express certain levels of creativity, whether it be through video, through photography, through, you know, painting props or even making the props. You know, I enjoy one of my first utility belts is I bought an Amazon Batfleck belt, took the pieces off, repainted them, but then I went to the surplus store and I mount that to an actual utility belt to make it real, to make it look realistic. Yeah. Right. So it's just, it's a fun creative outlet overall.
That's so cool, man. Like why the focus on Red Hood as a whole? Like I know you mentioned Red X, you did, you know, your version of like Nightwing and everything. You did have Snake Eyes and all that, but what about Jason Todd that you were just like, man, I'm going full fledged Red Hood, man.
I mean, like a lot of Red Hood cosplayers, I think the Under the Red Hood story, kind of hits. And I still think that's my best or my favorite version of him from a personality standpoint. I think the character sometimes goes too Deadpool-ish sometimes with personality. But that version, the Three Jokers version, but overall, one, I think I always thought his look was cool.
Yeah,
I thought the red helmet, the black jacket, or you know, the first one was a black jacket. Then he just overall, the Rebirth Dexter Soy's, his artwork on Rebirth was awesome. I mean, speaking of Dexter, I mean, I started reading titles he drew on just because of his art. I don't really read Batman directly, but I started picking up Batman the Outsiders because he drew on it.
Yeah.
It was his art. But Jason Todd overall, I think his story, when they really focus on it, it's relatable from, you know, just feeling like, you know, his backstory with abandonment from his parents and then finding them, then losing them, you know, thinking he found family with the Bat family.
Yes.
My man can't find love for hell. I know, man. He snuck a kiss in with Starfire, but Batgirl leaves him in Three Jokers, spoiler, you know, he dies. It's hilarious to me. So he's just always the king of angst, you know?
He does have a great story. He does have like a kind of a great and almost in a sense a unique story. And you're right, you're like those side characters, but he's kind of like a main character, but he's a side guy. I love it. I agree with you there, man.
And it's just the anti Dick Grayson early on. Mm-hmm. Like at first he was cloned as Dick Grayson, but then they kind of gave him that aggressive edge before he got killed off. You know, and just him dealing with that anger and how he processes that, you know, has always been fascinating. And then on the, you know, again, on the surface level, it's just, it just looks badass. I think there's no deny. I think his look overall is fun. At least most of them. I'm not a big fan of the outlaw look with the, you know, the hand wraps. You know, that look is my least favorite. But you know, he's one of the few characters that I see always has his look changes all the time. So in a way with my cosplay versions, it kind of matches that, even though they don't match him. It's just, there's so many different kind of layouts for him.
Yeah, definitely. He's one of my favorite all time in DC as well, man.
You turned on us fast enough.
I go my own way.
That's a good way to get yourself killed.
I'm curious, man. I gotta get your take on a few things, being that we just talked about some Red Hood and you mentioned you dropped some comic points and things like that. You know, I'm curious about, we haven't got any Red Hood appearances in film. I mean, with DC yet, and yet to really get anything of much solidity when it comes to building a universe for those that want it in DC, or even just building a stable structure, unfortunately. But no Robins that eventually become Nightwing, no Jason Todd, no Tim, no Damian, nothing like that. For a very long time, we haven't had any Robins exist in live action. So firstly, I got a couple questions for you, but firstly, do you think it's time to see a Robin exist in live action again?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I've always thought that that story could be told, like the Red Hood story could be told over a trilogy, you know, from them teaming up, then the second one, you know, he dies, third one, he comes back. I mean, I think there's there, but I think the issue is the studios think there's not an appetite for a lesser, or they feel it's a lesser known character. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, they're big properties, you know, your Red Hoods and so on, they're side characters. Even Nightwing, as popular as he is, I feel like they're scared to pull the trigger on the big screen with a character like that.
Yeah, but, I think so too.
I mean, I think it's time. I think the Robin character sometimes can be felt as it's cheesy, or in today's world, if you go true to age, he's too young and put in harm's way, you know, being that, you know, that version of Robin. But I think it's essential to Batman's story, the whole point of him, you know, being protective and wanting better for them, despite making them little warriors at 14, 15 years old. I think Robin is an essential part of Batman's arc. So if you're going to talk about Batman, I don't see why they can't get a quality Robin in there, not a 45-year-old Chris O'Donnell, but, you know, somebody who's, you know, a little bit more youthful, maybe not teenage, but just somebody who can encapsulate the character, whether it be Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Damian, whoever.
Yeah.
You touched on the animated movies are great. I think the animated movies do a good job. Yes. The shows.
Amazing. I always talk about those, man. Those are my favorite thing that I think, I really think, man, like, the way that might be my favorite thing that DC's ever done. Like the DC animated movies are just, they're phenomenal, man. They're phenomenal.
Like,
and
the Batman versus Robin with Balance, the Court of Owls. Like, that's like one of my favorite ones. I watch that all the time. That's one of those rewatchable ones I catch all the time.
So good. You kind of touched on it just a second ago when you were like, you know, they could do a trilogy and this and that. So I got to ask, in your perfect Batman film world, would you want them to follow like the order of Robins that come in the comics? Or would you want, like, let's say, would you want a film where certain scenarios already exist within the universe, such as maybe there was already a Dick Grayson that became Nightwing, and maybe now we have Jason Todd as Robin and we see that storyline play out until he becomes Red Hood, you know? Or maybe it's even further where both Nightwing and Red Hood already exist and we see flashbacks or something. Like, if it was your say, how would you want Jason to be brought into film?
I mean, I think Batman on his own could have his own shared universe. I mean, not trying to get into Justice League. I mean, I think you can just build a world there. But I think that in general, I think DC fans should be given more credit for understanding where people come from. I don't think everything needs an origin. Like what you were mentioning, I think it's possible that you start off with maybe Grayson at the tail end of his Robin career, and then you introduce Jason and then kind of go from there, because people know Dick Grayson from 66, from just people who don't really follow anymore know Dick Grayson as Robin. So you kind of acknowledge that, and then you can build into what Jason means and how that works with Dick Grayson, works with, you know, Batman and that whole process, the dynamic with Joker. So I think if they gave the audience a little bit more credit with what they do understand and what they know versus starting all over again. That's where I hope James Gunn doesn't go too far back. Like, I don't think we need to see Batman's parents killed again. I don't think we need to see Superman on the farm again. Exactly. I don't think, you know, they've been the character for a couple of years. That's why I like the Batman. I mean, he's already about like 2 years in or so, you know, kind of established that he exists. Yeah. You know, I think they could do that with the Robin as well as transitioning to Jason.
I agree. Since you brought that up, would you want a Robin to exist in the Reeves Pattinson universe? Would you want that?
I think they can make it work. I mean, I don't know what their plan is, but they kind of were planting that seed with that little boy, you know, at the, you know, at the funeral thing. I can see that being a thing, but it's all about how they handle it. As long as it fits their universe, whatever those rules are. Yeah. I think that's always the key, is you can't just force, you can't Spider-Man through it. You know, you can't, just throw Venom in there. I don't want Red Hood thrown in there just because it's Red Hood. Yeah. You know, to me, Red Hood could be a Venom of Spider-Man 3 if done wrong.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think there's room for it. If you tell the story right, if they rush it and Batman 2 comes out and there's him with a Robin and they're, I don't know. I think it can be rushed.
Do you think Pattinson's Batman's too young to like mentor a Robin? Do you think it's too early?
I mean, I think that's a fair point too. I think that he's still, the one thing I liked about him is that he made mistakes. Like he missed things.
I liked that too. Yeah.
No Espanol.
I like that too. Yeah.
it's him having growing pains. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it makes sense for it to be. That's why if they can do long form storytelling, then, you know, you can eventually bring that stuff into it. Or you introduce elements of what Robin is and what it means, and then he's kind of hanging around, and then you eventually bring him on.
Yeah,
it just depends on how long that that universe is being.
I think if I can give my two cents while we're just talking about it, I think it's possible to bring in a Robin in the Reeves Pattinson universe, but I personally think that it would have to be more than just a trilogy to do that. Because if we're just going by the timeline, unless you do like a time jump, you know, by like the third film or something. But then it's like, but then we're just getting a Robin for the third film and then the franchise is just over. And we don't, like, once again, we don't get to see that develop into anything. But just the way that my mind works, because Pattinson's Batman is just so young still and so fresh, I think we need a little bit more of a seasoned Batman before we introduce a Robin if it came to that universe. Yeah. So in my eyes, in my brain, the way I look at it is it would have to be more than just a trilogy. Am I pushing too much to say a 6 movies? You know what I mean? Introduce a Robin in like the end of the third movie, and then the next trilogy goes into introducing, you know, more of a Robin and building that universe of the Bat family together. I don't know. That's how I see it.
And then, I mean, one thing I've always wanted to see, not necessarily Pattinson, but just Batman in general, there's an animated series episode that's really well-received where Nightwing explains why he stopped being Robin when he's talking to Tim Drake. And you can kind of swap Tim in for, you know, that in a way with Jason. So if you start the first movie off, him and Jason is Robin, Dick Grayson's already gone. Dick can kind of come back as Nightwing, kind of talk about it. You can have some flashbacks. I think the first movie could be them two defeating whatever enemy it is, right? Whoever it might be, just to establish the relationship. Second movie, at the end, he's dead, right? That's kind of where Robin dies. Third movie, he's Red Hood, and he's the villain of the third movie. And if you want, that ends that story arc, and then you can still do more, but that's a 3-movie arc, and then you can build into another 3-movie arc where Red Hood exists, the Bat family is starting to expand, you can bring in Tim, that kind of thing. But I've always just thought that you good. Can't, that's the thing about Titans that I didn't like. As much as I actually do like Curran's portrayal of Jason Todd and Red Hood to a degree. Mm-hmm. It's just that I think they smashed all that content in like a 3-episode arc in that season, where he went from getting his ass beat to he's back as Red Hood, and there was just no emotional development there. But you know, I thought his betrayal was fun early on, and they did a lot of scenes from Under the Red Hood. So
right. I think it's time, man. I think it's time to see a Robin exist in a universe. If it's not the Pattinson universe, then whatever it is that James Gunn's doing, I feel like he's gonna do it.
I mean,
we're getting a Blue Beetle before we get a Robin. As stoked as I am to see the Blue Beetle movie, especially because I know somebody who has already seen screenings of it, and they actually said it was really good.
And don't get me wrong, I think it's cool. It's just from a character standpoint, from a, you know, who they are, and you know, just, I don't know. I just figured we would get more of the, even Nightwing. I mean, Nightwing to me is up there as a top tier character.
I think so. Yeah.
Hasn't really gotten his due, and we're going to get a full fledged Blue Beetle before we get some
of those. Right. I just feel like also maybe it's because of the community that we're like all in, but I really do feel like Nightwing and Red Hood have become prominent characters. They're more prominent characters. They're fan favorites. And for DC to just completely ignore it in film, I think it's right on par with like what you said. I think they're a little scared. They're a little nervous. They don't think it's going to do well, but I actually think it's the opposite. Like if they did like a Under the Red Hood film or you know, Death in the Family or anything like that, and made it like, you know, like the animated films are like gritty and dark and like, man, that would do so well. But I think they're too afraid to do it, especially in today's climate with the way the world is and everything. I think they're afraid to do it, man. But I can't wait for it. I really do think say what you will about however anybody feels about James Gunn and WB and everything that's going on, but I do feel like the universe that he's going to create, I just have this feeling that a Robin exists in his plans. I think it just feels like a James Gunn thing to do because he does focus on other characters. Look at Guardians, Suicide Squad. So I feel like we're going to get some of the things that we've been wanting from James Gunn. I feel like we're going to have some things taken away, but we're going to get other things in the process. And I feel like a right. Robin, maybe a Nightwing or a Red Hood is somewhere in those plans at some point in time. He's got 10 years mapped out, right. supposedly.
Yeah.
You know? So I think we'll get it at some point. But while I do want to talk with you much more about what you've got going on and your cosplays and all that good stuff, ladies and gentlemen, I think you know what it is. Let's break up the monotony and let's get into this week's Cosplay of the Week. Oh! And this week's Cosplay of the Week is none other than Amalia Cat. And I'm throwing it up on the screen right about... Meow, meow. Now, ooh, and look at this, and that's AMALIAAACAT on Instagram. And this is of her Catwoman, and it's Catwoman from Batman 66. And this is absolutely amazing, man. Everything about this, dude, the orange background, just bringing in that perfectly like 60s vibe to it. And the purplish, but blackish, it's not quite black, but it's not quite purple. It's kind of got that tint to it of the whole bodysuit, the whole Catwoman suit going on there. You've got the ears, dude, the ears, the Catwoman 66 ears with the hair, and it's a little curly going down past her shoulders there. I love it, dude, with the gloves, the hands out, perfect stance. You got the one leg up with the I don't know how big those heels are, but they look pretty big. You know what I mean? But you got the leg up with the heels and everything, perfect stance. I love it with the belt, the chain going down and everything. It's absolutely amazing. And the caption says, it's a quote, "Don't bother, Batman. This glass is bulletproof, shatterproof, and batproof. I'm not just pussyfooting around this time." And it's from Julie Newmar as Catwoman in Batman 66. And the photo is by Ash Photo Pix, and that's P-I-X for Pix. And it's just perfect, man. Batman 66, Catwoman 66. I love it. I really do. And Amalia has all kinds of different Catwoman cosplays. Catwoman cosplays. She's got all kinds of different Catwoman cosplays on her Instagram, so you need to go check those out. And I want to throw up more, obviously, and I want to throw up one. It's actually a video here of her her Kravitz version, and we're throwing that up now. Look at that. It's got the whip and everything, the walk. It's like a model walk. The hips, the legs, they're moving. I mean, shit, it's absolutely amazing, dude. You got the hair going with the Kravitz hair and everything, the suit looking amazing as well. I love everything about this, man. You can kind of see as the hands are swinging that she's got the claws going on there as well. I love that, man. I love that. But you know, we got to throw up a third photo because I want to focus a little bit more on some details, and this third photo has some awesome details, so I'm throwing that up now, and that's up on the screen. Look at this. Oh my gosh. Look at this. First of all, let's read the caption right away. "Seriously in love," she says, "with all of these photos from our shoot at Nova Photography Studio with Richie.photography. And that's EY for the Richie. She absolutely killed it. And yes, the photographer Richie, you did absolutely kill it. I love everything about this. But Amalia, you killed it with the cosplay as well. Look at the cowl, man. The cowl is perfect with the ears, with the oh man, what are they called? What are those called? Are they like goggles? Is that what it would be? The goggles, right? With the red and everything. You've got the Catwoman stance down, the hands spread out right there on the floor, and you can see the claws perfectly, just like the other one that's up like this with the claws, the nails going on there. I love it, man. With the skin tight suit and everything. I mean, it's Catwoman. It's Catwoman for real. The makeup is on point. The facial features, the way that you've got your face, the looking and everything on point, man. The suit is by Mike Costumes, and that's M-I-C Costumes. And the cowl is by Alter.Ego Studios, who I've mentioned here plenty and plenty of times. This is awesome. I really love this. You embody Catwoman perfectly, whether it be your 66 version, the Zoe Kravitz version, or any of the other iterations that you have on your page. They're absolutely phenomenal. I love them. You've even collaborated with previous Cosplay of the Week and previous guests on the show, Soddle Up. Sod is absolutely awesome, and you've got a bunch of collaborations with him as Batman up there. Beautifully done, perfectly done, man. You got anything, Joey, that you want to say? Joey Red Hood?
No, I mean,
I was gonna go into this like whole spiel, because if anybody's just seeing this on Instagram and you didn't watch the whole episode, we've got Joey Red Hood .22 known on Instagram and TikTok. Joey Red Hood is here, ladies and gentlemen. So go ahead. My bad. Didn't mean to cut you off, man.
No, I just think it's great cosplay. I love when you kind of get the poses down. town, the overall look, especially the 66 Batman with that, the colors and everything. It really kind of captures the character. That's a lot of fun. That's great stuff.
Yeah, I really dig it. I really dig it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not following, go follow Amalia. I hope I'm saying it right, too, man. Amalia, is it Amalia? She has it, like, spelled out, like, you know, like A-H-M-A-L-. You know what I mean? Like, so you know how to say it. But I'm still confused. Is it Amalia or is it Amalia? You know what I mean? Is it Mal or is it Mal? Who knows? I don't know. Do you know? I have no idea. Amalia Cat. Go follow her on Instagram. AMALIAACAT. And check out all of her Catwoman cosplay. She's got other stuff up there like Loki as well. It's absolutely amazing. It's perfect. Amalia Cat, your Catwoman cosplay of the week for me and Joy Red Hood is amazing. This week's episode is brought to you by Anime Las Vegas, an anime convention bringing you the best of the best in anime and bringing it to the city of Las Vegas at that this April 22nd and 23rd at the Expo. And let me tell you why you need to be there. Firstly, I'm going to be there. Phenomenal. I know. Everybody's just jumping for joy. But there's going to be so many of your favorites in anime, ranging from cast members of Naruto, Death Note, Digimon, Bleach, Dragon Ball, My Hero Academia, Attack on Titan, and the list goes on and on. There's going to be amazing panels that I know you're just going to want to catch. Over 400 vendors and artists as well, and that's just scratching the surface. The tickets are on sale right now at AnimeLasVegas.com, and it's still currently early bird discounts. So what does that mean? That means only $35 for a full weekend pass. No excuse. Go out there and get it. And if you subscribe to the Anime Fire YouTube account at Anime Fire Official before January 27th, two lucky anime lovers automatically enter to win a free weekend pass. So whether you're in Vegas, surrounding Vegas, maybe you are Vegas. You are the nightlife. You're out there. You're getting it in. I want to see you at LAV. That's Anime Las Vegas for all the cool people out there. That's how we pronounce it. Acronyms, you know? Anyway, enjoy this clip, and I'll see you there. I've got a couple just kind of like random questions that I want to ask you. All right. It's not necessarily like we don't have to do like super rapid fire or anything like that. It's just like whatever. I used to call this segment shotgun questions. And I used to do this like whole thing where I like sound effects and I made shotgun boom boom. And it was like kind of my rendition of like rapid fire. But then it kind of defeated the purpose because like it never ended up being rapid fire. Like we ended up having like conversations, but it was supposed to kind of be a little bit more rapid fire. So I don't know what I'm calling this segment. This is the second time where just don't have a name for it anymore. And I don't have any sound effects or music or anything for it. So anyway, we'll just get into it. You don't step out of Red Hood cosplays too often, which we'll discuss a little bit more in depth also in a moment. But you don't step too far away from Red Hood, but if you were to, and it were to be outside of DC at that, let's say, I mean, oh, I don't know, Marvel maybe. If you were to cosplay anyone from Marvel, if you were, who would it be? Or even if you've ever had a few in mind, would you ever do it and who would it be?
Marvel, I've always wanted to do my take on the Ronin, like the Renner Ronin. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a different look on that. Mm-hmm. I've also wanted to do a Spider-Man, just one of the other ones that I like. Scarlet Spider.
Yeah,
it's one of the other. Like, I'm not huge into the Parker Spiders. Yeah. I love Spider-Man in general. I mean, I'm wearing Spider-Man tonight, but you know, I just again, I like the like Spider-Man 2099. Just some of the other versions, you know, those types that I could gravitate to. And then those are the big ones. The rest is a lot of it's DC that I would do.
That's awesome though. Those are some good ones, dude. Especially the Scarlet Spider. That makes me excited if you were to ever do that, man. Yeah. You've collaborated with the likes of many previous cosplays of the week and guests here on the show, such as Foggy Knight, Mass Mateo, Dom Charlin, and so many more. Is there any other cosplayers out there that you haven't collaborated with that you would love to collaborate with? Or is there anyone that you'd love to collaborate with again?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Mass Mateo, Nashville Night. You know, we all got together in like a big shoot, you know, back in 2020. You know, I'd love to be able to revisit that again. That was kind of a fun shoot, big ensemble with a group of people.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think in general, I would love to do, I'll collab with anybody, but I've done and created a bunch of Red Hood collab videos. It would love to do that in live action. Just get a bunch of people from all over, like your RLH in New York.
Alter.
You've got Mass Red Hood. You've got Capturel.
Yes.
I don't want to miss out a bunch, but there's a lot of great, fun, Red Hood cosplayers. It'd be great to kind of get together physically at a show and kind of do something fun like that.
That's awesome.
You know, shoot with some new photographers. Like I've wanted to shoot with like World of Gwenda, Ghost Shoots. I want to revisit, Jeff Jenkins again, Jason. And of course I love shooting my brother. We're not super close. And my problem is I'm bad with getting out of my backyard. So I've always been bad with that for collabs. It's just, life keeps me in my bubble.
Yeah.
And, I definitely want to get out there more, to be able to do some of those collaborations.
Are you open to doing like, this for all the cosplayers out there, listen up. Are you open to, doing like, you know, those collabs that you may not be there physically where it's like, you know, you edit, you know, people are editing people in and stuff. Is that something that's up your alley or would you rather do there physically?
I am more of the practical stuff. Right. I'll do edits all day. So, you know, I've done stuff with Foggy. I've done stuff with Superman Fit. Mm-hmm. We've done physical stuff together. I love digital art. I think it's beautiful that you put together, but I definitely do like the practical scenery. I like the practical locations, real photos. But I'm always open to collabing with just about anybody that wants to do something together, whether it be digital art. But I definitely have a preference to shoot like on location if possible.
Cool.
I just think it makes it feel like a movie.
Yeah.
Again, I can't act, so I get to look like I can do something. I look like I'm mobile. Like Mateo, his outfits, he can move, man. I'm like a statue. I can barely move a lot of my gear. So, it's like sometimes people will joke about, hey, you should do a fan film. Like, man, I can't barely move and all this stuff. So
I bet.
I'm like a statue. I can go like this. I have like four poses. That's it. This is the pose right here.
That's the one. That's the con pose. That's hilarious, man.
But I'm down to collab with anybody, old friends, new friends. But I definitely think it's great in person.
Yeah.
We had recently before con. It was Superman Fit, Foggy, Astro Void, a bunch of people, Seattle's Beauty, a bunch of people were just there on location to shoot and having fun.
That's so cool.
Different shots with Jonathan Cabrera. He's another local photographer who's great. Cabrera does great work. So, anytime we get together physically, I think it's just fun.
Definitely, man. That was actually going to be also one of my questions was like, if you prefer doing like the physical shoots and stuff, like, you kind of answered it, but also like even like studio shots, do you prefer like actually being like in an alley or something? Or are you down with like studio shots too? But I mean, you kind of already answered that in a way as
well. Yeah. Studio's not bad. I like being somewhere. Although we talk about, so a funny story about Ray up in New York, he has some great spots, but I'm like, look, I want to go places, but I don't want to die, getting this good shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need places that look dangerous that aren't actually dangerous. You know what I mean? So, that's kind of my thing there is, finding locations that, that are, safe, but still have that look to them. That's why Nashville is great. They had a great, almost like a movie set. It's like an abandoned warehouse that they revamped into like a location for shoot. So you've got like a jail, you've got a warehouse,
you've perfect.
Got the burnt down mansion. You've got it, that's why it lent itself to, and the name's escaping me right now, but it was a great location in Nashville to rent out and get a bunch of shots that look, it's a safe environment, but it has that gritty vibe.
Oh man, that sounds amazing, dude. I actually have some plans this year to make it out to Nashville. Are you close to Nashville? I mean, without revealing anything, if you don't want to.
It's about a 12-hour drive.
Okay.
And I made that drive for that shoot. And then if you ever talk to Jeff Jenkins, Mateo, or Nashville, I ask him about my boots. That's always a running joke.
What happened with that?
I forgot my boots on the drive,
I
stopped and turned around. So I lost. I had to backtrack 4 hours to get my boots to then drive. So it took me. Yeah, I got there way late, and so they end up doing this funny thing at the end where they had me and I could barely see out of my costume. And so they go, okay, Joey, over here. Okay. And everyone backed out and they took a picture of my boots because, you know, it was funny. It was good, man. But yeah, the boots were a running joke because I lost 4 or 5 hours of drive time to turn around.
Dude,
to get them.
That's,
I just couldn't shoot.
Yeah,
out.
No, there's like, no way. Yeah. Oh my God. That sucks though, dude. Oh man. Yeah. I have some plans. I mean, we'll see what comes to fruition. I mean, it's just the start of the year, so we'll see what ends up happening, but I do have some plans to try to make it out to Nashville and meet up with a couple people. I'm sure some people can put two and two together who's out in Nashville and who we're all meeting up with, but you know, we'll talk about it off camera and everything. Cause we never know exactly what's going to happen, but I'll keep you updated if that happens is my point, man. Yeah. I got another question for you. So Batman, right? You've got Keaton, Bale, Affleck, Pattinson. Those four, all right? Keaton, Bale, Affleck, Pattinson. You can only choose one and the others cease to exist. Who do you choose and why? If you can choose. You don't have to, but if you can you narrow it down?
It's not even that hard for me. Okay. Like a lot, and but Batfleck for me, man. I just like Ben a lot role.
Dude.
Like
me
I,
too.
Especially in Batman vs Superman. I liked his older, jaded kind of been through it.
Yeah,
you know. He kills. I mean, they all have killed in the movie.
Yeah, they really have. You know? They like, really have.
I understand it's his rule, but from a theatrical standpoint, they've all done stuff. Now I know he was a little bit more of a murder machine,
but still.
I just liked his characterization of a very older, a much older, jaded, been through it all.
Yeah.
Kind of Batman. I thought the suit was on point. I love the comic feel of that suit. So for me, he's still my favorite.
Nice. That was a pretty quick answer, man. Usually everybody's like, all right, process of elimination. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. I don't mean to throw shade at that came off like I'm throwing shade.
I saw Keaton in theaters.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, I saw Keaton in theaters. I'm older. Mm-hmm. I'm an elder statesman in this game. So I saw Keaton when I was a kid. You know, Bale, it was an impactful series, but you know, Pattinson was good. It's just something about the way Batfleck carried himself.
And I gotta agree. Yeah,
I liked his Batmobile a lot.
Yeah,
too.
I did too, man.
I thought
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I think that's one of the best Batmobiles I think we've ever gotten in live action. I really dug it, man.
I agree.
Last one outside of comic and superhero stuff. Just a fun one, man. If you could time travel to any time period, any era, where would you go and why? And you can have up to three different choices if you so need three.
I think I'd want to do the 80s, but older because I was a kid in the 80s, but I'd like to be like the teens, you know, kind of like really be there for that versus, although we had the best cartoons and toys.
See, I'm a 90s kid, so I'm going to go with the 90s are the best cartoons and toys, man.
Transformers, He-Man, Silverhawks, Thundercats. I mean, we had so much.
That's a tough one. That's why I always ask it. It's a fun one to ask, though. Gets the brain thing.
Yeah, the 80s are for sure. I thought, I think that James Dean era would be fun. You know, kind of like the Hot Rods, Greaser, that kind of thing. And then fast forward, I mean, you know, just is, you know, what's it going to be like out front? We're going to have like the cyberpunk aesthetic, or is it going to be, you know? Yeah, I mean, although we thought we're having flying cars when Back to the Future came out, we ain't got nothing. But
you know, it's interesting because when I ask this question to people, a lot of people always choose the past. There's only been, I think, you and one other person that's chose the future. Like, what, I wonder what it would look like in the future. You know, like, I think CJ Prop Studio.
I just think if you go too far back, like, for instance, I love Peaky Blinders. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Piper's show. I love that look, that energy. I'd love to do it. Me too. Like that. But man, ain't no AC.
You don't think about the little things. You know what I mean? That's a good point,
you know,
dude.
There's just small things. I was joking about it, like, you know, just there's different scenes, whether it be romantic scenes, whatever. I'm like, yo, that's fine, dude,
the smells, like in any scenario, like even I'm like really interested. The reason I asked this question about time travel is because I could talk about time travel and like for that could be a whole episode. I've just been waiting for an episode for some people or one person, whoever, to come on and just talk about like time travel and weird things with me. I'm like super interested in that stuff, so it's funny that you bring that up,
man. Brother on, man.
Oh yeah, is he interested in all that stuff?
I should get my brother on. Oh god, we go back and forth in time travel.
I have to get
the
both of you on, dude, and we'll just talk about his film work a little bit, and then jump into some time travel, man.
Yeah. The buzzword for him, if you want to trigger him, is talk about the movie Looper. He will lose his mind.
Oh so man, you know what's crazy? I was super late on that movie. I watched it, I think, for the first time in maybe maybe 2021 or early 2022. I don't remember. I was super late on that movie, and I enjoyed it though. I did enjoy it. I didn't hate it. Yeah. I don't remember very much.
I enjoyed
of it,
but it's from a time travel standpoint. I mean, we'll go on a tangent here, but yeah,
I know what you
as
mean.
As much as I like to poke the bear with him with that movie, mm-hmm. I understand and agree with his points, but I like to poke the bear because he's my little brother, so I like to get him all riled up.
If I would have to watch it again to refresh my memory 100%. But I remember enjoying it, but I don't remember being like extremely like stoked about it. You know what I mean? Like, right. But I just remember enjoying some of it. But yeah, you're right. It's a good point. Like they also talk about, I've researched and stuff, New York, like way back. Like they say New York's bad now with the rats and the trash. Think about it back in the day. They just had sewage everywhere, which I mean, a lot of places do. I just picked New York because I've read a lot about it, but my family's from there. But like New York just had sewage just engulfed in the streets, and then just lots of places with horses just walking around shitting everywhere. You know what I mean? Like
Wild West.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know what I mean? The smells of everywhere, outside and inside, must have just been insane to deal with. You know what I mean? Like, it must have just been crazy. I can talk about this.
Like, it's because Hollywood, you know, makes it a certain way.
Yeah.
And so you're like enamored with it.
Yeah. Right? Exactly.
The reality of it's pretty rough.
Yeah, it'd probably be insane. Like even like in, I don't remember, I think it was like 1600s or whatever, you used to just go into these bathrooms and everybody would just shit and piss together collectively, like as a group. It was like just bathrooms of everybody together, no stalls, no like stalls or anything. And then all of that feces and urine, everything would just go down like the walls, like a chute, like a poop chute basically, and just go down to the walls into like the street. Of, like imagine that, and you're just like walking by and it's just like mounds of feces and urine, right. Like oh my god. So that's funny that you bring that up. And then the no AC thing is a good point too, man. That's a really good one. Sorry, there's something in my eye. While we are going to get ready to wrap up here, man, I do want to talk to you very briefly about a couple more things, dude. Every once in a while, you branch out of your Red Hood cosplays and you suit up as Snake Eyes. Phenomenally done, dude. You have your Red X cosplay, also phenomenally done. You mentioned like that. What if Jason Todd was Red X? You know, perfect. You don't see too many Red X cosplays in general these days. You've done the Jason Todd Nightwing. I always love that. I dig that. As well as a couple shots of you suited up as Robin, but I don't see too many of those. And we'll get into that also in a minute. But aside from those, it's been quite a while that you've done Red Hood. So are there any possibilities of seeing Joey Red Hood become anyone else in the DC universe?
Well, the more popular ones, I've toyed with Deathstroke. I have all the parts for a Deathstroke, different versions. I even got a Red X Deathstroke version.
Oh, nice, dude.
It's one of the helmets that I haven't been like, hasn't done a whole lot.
Yeah, nice. I can totally see that being Deathstroke.
But
yeah.
Deathstroke, I've wanted to do a Talon. To back to Marvel, I've always wanted to do a really good like Hobgoblin, not Green Goblin, just with
nice.
The Hobgoblin.
Yes.
And then from an more obscure character on DC, I wanted to do a character called Sideways.
Oh, yes, I know Sideways.
He looks like Spider-Man. Yeah. It's like a complete rip, but he's not. He doesn't have the same powers, but I like the look.
I do too.
Fun to do another kind of niche character.
Dude, that would be so cool. I've talked to very minimal people that even know that character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's cool. That's why I want to do it, because it's like something that doesn't really, doesn't exist. And I'll go to a convention and they'll call me Spider-Man and whatever and all that kind of stuff. I just think it's kind of a fun concept.
That's so cool.
Because you know how Marvel DC constantly kind of have that back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, his aesthetics the same, powers are different, but still, I thought it'd be a fun one to do.
That's pretty cool.
Then, like I mentioned earlier, Cade 6 is a big one I really want to
do. Yes, do it.
Destiny.
Hell yeah. I'd be stoked for that, man. Yeah. Those are awesome choices, man. Hell yeah. I can't wait to see those come to fruition if they ever do. I do want to ask you, you're Robin. You have a couple shots suited up as a Robin, but forgive me if I just didn't see them, but I don't see like full-fledged shots or photo shoots or anything really done with the Robin. Why is that?
Being older, I just feel like Robin's a youthful character.
Okay.
And
okay.
Just for me, I just never liked the way I presented in Robin.
Okay.
Anybody can cosplay, don't get me wrong. It's just my preference.
Yeah,
I just didn't feel comfortable as the character, because I either have scruff, whatever. It didn't fit for me.
Right.
So I never had, and I told you it's about fun. I just didn't have fun in the cosplay. So I ended up getting rid of the armor, passed it on to another cosplayer to carry that on. But it's phenomenal stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I just didn't relate to the character enough to, and I didn't have fun when I did suit up. Like I just wasn't happy with the look. And I always get told it's dumb. And I get it. Anybody can cosplay anything. But for me personally, I just didn't enjoy putting that particular suit on in that way. That's why for the longest time, I didn't show my face either. Like I had,
I noticed the mask thing.
And I never showed any of this. Yeah. It wasn't until I started doing more of the video content that I started showing the face. Because I think with the mask, it just allows you to, it's kind of like when Stanley talked about Spider-Man, anyone could be Spider-Man, right? So when you put the mask on, it just allows people to kind of relate to the character and the cosplay more, or because you don't see who's behind the mask. And so I just relate to that a lot, where no matter what I have, I try to do helmeted characters because it allows me to kind of hide this mug behind the, you know, the mask.
Yeah, I feel it.
Great. I mean, the person who has it now does a great job with the character.
It's awesome.
It just wasn't for me.
Makes sense though. Makes sense.
And I love character. Like I have a big Robin collection that just, you know, putting the suit on, it just
didn't feel right. Didn't feel right. Yeah, yeah, makes sense, man. Makes sense. Well, we are going to get ready to get out of here, man. But before we do, I want to give the floor to you to say whatever you want to say, plug whatever you want to plug, thank anybody you want to thank or anything like that. You know, drop any hints of something that's on the way, what you got going on, if you're going to be at any cons. I mean, whatever's on your mind, man. The floor is yours.
You know, just I just want to remind people to have fun with cosplay, man. I mean, you know, shout out to people that are doing big things with it, like Mateo and Foggy Knight and Liz. A lot of those are, you know, creating big, you know, different brands within that. Others just when you know, just the cosplay point, having fun and enjoying that, building relationships. You know, just don't lose sight of that part. I think is important, just to have a lot of good time, have a lot of fun with that. But you know, shout out to all the Red Hood cosplayers. I mean, I've tried to name a bunch, but you know, in the DMs, we have group chats. I mean, you know, just keep having a great time with that. Content wise, I'm on Instagram, TikTok. I got some real life stuff happening for a bit. So that's why it's been real back, and I'll reveal some of that in due time. You know, some people close know about it, but overall, man, just want everyone to have a great time. And if you have any questions or anyone has any, you know, want any tips or anything, you know, my DMs are always open. That's it. And I really just appreciate you on.
Oh, you know, definitely,
it's
man.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking cosplay, nerd stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, man. You know, that's how I try to stay youthful.
Yeah, definitely, man. I likewise, man. Thank you for being here and everything, dude. It's been a long time coming, like I keep saying. And I definitely want to do a part two, man. I feel like there's so much more that I'd love to talk with you about.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we'll see. We'll give it some time. Maybe you'll have some new cosplays or any of the things that you talked about, and we can talk about the process of those as well. And even get your brother on, and we'll talk about his, you know, photography and everything that he does. And then and maybe we'll sprinkle in some time travel. You know what I mean? Just some time travel conversation.
Cosplay. And I think that'd be a fun thing to do, is like a group thing. Like if you can get a couple, like some of the lives, you know, like I know, again, all these Red Hood cosplayers, like Last Nevin, I don't want to say his name wrong, you know, Alter Ego and his crew.
Yeah.
And I love the, just having just a massive kind of just friendly community. Right. I don't think there needs to be any kind of lines drawn. It's just,
I feel you, man.
Chit chat, have fun, support each other.
Yeah.
And you know,
I feel you, man. Like I feel you, dude. Ladies and gentlemen, please go follow, if you're not already, JoeyRedHood.22 on Instagram, on TikTok. Check out all his content if you never have before. He's an absolutely awesome dude. If you watch this whole episode, you can clearly see he's a very humble dude, a genuine dude with great content, supporting everybody and supporting the cosplay community along the way of his cosplay journey, man. I can't wait to have you on here again, dude, with your brother. I'm writing it down, dude. We're going to make it happen. Later this year, dude. It's a follow-up, and I swear to God, we're getting some time travel talk going in on there, man. So JoeyRedHood.22, thank you for coming, dude. I really appreciate it. And thank you for watching, for liking, for commenting, for sharing, for doing all of those beautiful things that you do over on YouTube.com/Side Project Podcast. When you go down and hit that big red subscribe button that goes, ooh, and you get 100 sexy project points. And by the way, everybody that's watching on YouTube, please double check that you subscribe, because I think it's like 67% of viewership come from people that aren't subscribed. So if you're tuning in regularly, double check, make sure you hit that subscribe button, boom, and you get 100 sexy project points. What are they used for? I don't know. At some point in time, we'll figure it out. You know, they're like Sonic rings, or they're like Mario coins. You don't really know what you're doing with them. You know, they just kind of, you collect them and you rack up a high score, and maybe they'll be used for something in the future. We're still waiting. We don't know. Thank you for watching on Spotify, as well as videos are available on Spotify in case you didn't know. And thank you for listening on Spotify, Apple, and Google, and all those things you listen on. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you're looking for me, you can find me at IG Hates Chazzy on Instagram, and everything else you need to find me at is on the screen right about now. You can't click it, but the links are all in the description below, wherever it is that you're tuning in right now. If you're looking for the podcast as a whole, you can find it on Instagram at Side Project Podcast. Remember, that's Project with a K. Ladies and gentlemen, me and Joey, we are out of here. Hold on. We just got to get all the mugs from the Side Project merch store. We just got to see you guys next time.